The triad is a lively scene. As springtime dances in, homeowners are ready to sell, and their built equity is a win. Great homes will be for sale, with a new deal behind each door. The Sharp Mortgage Team is excited to help in the spring of 2024. With wisdom and commitment, we'll help you chart your move. A quick conversation and pre-approval will get you in the groove. With pre-approval secured, you'll be steps ahead, you'll see, ready to embrace the home buying journey with confidence and glee. From cozy cottages to sprawling estates, you'll find the perfect fit, and your real estate agent's skill set help and determined grit. With a wealth of knowledge and a heart for your buying success, we'll navigate the housing market, ensuring nothing less. Don't let the media fool you. You deserve a wonderful new nest. With the Sharp Mortgage Team, you're poised for nothing less than the best. Embrace the warmth of springtime, flowers, and skies of blue. Partner with the Sharp Mortgage Team. We're always here for you.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
I'm Algernon Cash, and you're locked in. Just in case you've been under a rock and you haven't been paying attention to every advertisement, every message that is out there, but sports betting is now legal in North Carolina. I've seen so many advertisements on my timeline. I've seen billboards. I've gotten text messages. So the operators that are going to be working on behalf of sports betting in North Carolina, they are doing a full court press. So just in case you hadn't noticed, sports betting is now legal in North Carolina as of March 11th of this year. Of course, I've got Representative Jason Sane, who is one of the lead sponsors for the bill in the House, along with Representative John Bell, who is also the majority leader. Representative Sane, thank you for locking in with me. Have you placed your first bet yet?
You know, I did, and it was on NC State, and what a great bet that was. It paid off. I'm a longtime Wolfpack fan. Of course, had to live through the many years of them not making it, much past the first game of the tournament. To win five straight like that, honestly, I'm such a fan, could care less about the bet, but that was a nice gimme too at the end. I placed one of the promotional bets. Believe it or not, and New State was a long shot, but I'm a Wolfpack fan, and it paid off close for me about $937. Believe it or not, and wow. I'm not a veteran sports bettor, but that was a pretty good bet to make. So was thrilled to death with that, but just great to see the team do that. But great to bring this to North Carolina. I heard so many people, as you mentioned, there was a lot of advertising, and the advertising had to do with the fact that they knew there was a big market in North Carolina. That, by the way, for years had already been sports betting. They just hadn't been doing it legally. Now they can legally do it.
You know, I have not placed my first bet. I've seen all the advertisements and the enticements for the, I guess they give you like bonus cash if you sign up for an account and do some of that. I have not done that yet. But just as I played the lottery after we allowed the lottery to come here to North Carolina, I do plan on making a bet. I've got to figure out who I'm going to bet on, but I'm going to jump in and give it a shot. I guess let's just start it there. You know, here in North Carolina, it was a tough fight to be able to get the lottery legalized and authorized here in our state. I know we've had conversations about other gaming like casinos and other things here in the state. Why do you think the time was right to be able to get a bill through the General Assembly, Representative, specifically for sports betting?
Yeah, well, one, we have such a big fan base here in North Carolina. And let me tell you the story about how we got to sports betting anyway. I'm sitting, this is several years ago, on a Saturday at a little bar restaurant, Lake Norman, met up with some friends of mine. We'd get together on Saturdays and watch basketball or baseball, whatever the season is. And we're sitting there and I'm watching them on their phones. Two good friends use their phones to play sports bets. And I, you know, a little nosy, I asked, I said, how are you doing that? That's not legal in our state. I at the time, I'd never placed a bet, had no idea how it worked. So I asked them to explain it to me. And they were walking through what the process was and, you know, explained that, yeah, it's illegal, but nobody really enforces it. So we got a guy. And that guy, you know, puts us into a website. And we've got basically a VPN to get there, and then they could place their bets. And they'd been doing it for years. And I was just fascinated by that. And so I started researching it a bit because the Supreme Court had made their ruling and said that sports betting was indeed legal. And I'm seeing a lot of publications and things that legislators read where other states were getting into the sports betting business. And so there was a pretty big lag time for North Carolina to get in. We were, I think, number 34, 35 as far as the states to legalize sports betting. So we're kind of at the tail end of it, you know, versus the other states. And we're a big state, you know, with our state being, I think last I looked, ninth largest state in the union, a huge population. So I'd worked a lot on fantasy sports and, you know, legislation there. So it was kind of a natural fit as I just got more and more involved and engaged on it. We started talking about with some other legislators, you know, the possibility of what that would look like if we brought it to North Carolina.
That's pretty interesting. Now, you say, because I'm like you, I'm familiar with, I've got several friends that have done the sports betting over the years. So I always thought it was legal. I knew it wasn't legal in North Carolina, but I guess I just assumed if you were using a platform where maybe in the other state it was legal, even if you could get access to it in North Carolina, you could use it. So that was not you. It needed to be legal in North Carolina for everybody in North Carolina to use it. Correct? Or
well, that's right. And so much money was leaving our state because it wasn't regulated, but people had found a way to do it. Clearly, I think at last check we saw about $4 billion going out of the state before it was legalized. So this is an attempt really to recapture some of those dollars so that we can put that money back into our state instead of Virginia or Tennessee or somewhere like that. Instead of building their schools and their roads, we at least use that dollars, those dollars that people are going to bet anyway, clearly, and we can put that money back into our state.
That's an interesting point there. I actually was never aware of that. I didn't realize people were operating outside of the law by doing it. So that makes a lot of sense. Now, right now, you can only bet on your phone, correct? There's no in-person wagering. Is that right? Or
that's correct to the extent that it is coming. It just takes a while to upfit the arenas or the places where they're going to be able to do that. What we did with the bill is allow locations like the Carolina Panthers. They're looking to partner with one of the licensees. I know that PNC Arena in Raleigh is looking to license. I think they're with Fanatics, if I remember correctly. I think the Panthers Stadium is looking at partnering with. Let me see. I think it's Hard Rock. But so there's various different ways they can partner, but they want to bring it to locations, something we wanted to see happen so that these venues that maybe only get used once a season, maybe it's baseball season, maybe it's, of course, I say baseball, hoping that MLB coming to North Carolina happens, but basketball arenas, the Hornets, the PNC using both basketball and hockey, but making sure that we get full use of those properties as well. They can put a sports book there on site.
Yeah, I think I read there's like 8 venues or something like that around the state where you guys are obviously have already authorized these venues for in-person wagering, which will come a little bit later. Do you think the number of venues may get expanded as well?
I think that's possible. One of the ways that we wrote the law is that they had to meet certain criteria. So they had to be, bigger events type space. Even the golf tournament in Pinehurst could qualify. But we wanted to make it, you know, in such a way that well, at least to start, they were the bigger venues. But I think that in time, as folks start to realize and rationalize it, it's not, if you were opposed to it, it isn't actually necessarily the end of the world. The folks use a lot of gloom and doom to be opposed to it. And I understand that there are people, as I say, if it's not for you, don't do it. You've got to be an adult. You've got to be able to make that choice and self-regulate. But you can't, we're not necessarily looking to, we're certainly not looking to, for young people to engage until they're legally able to do so. But even then, it's really directed toward a market that is, more open to sports betting. And for those that don't like it, you don't have to do it. But there will be other venues and opportunities. I find it fun to do when I have been in other states and able to do it on my phone while at a sporting event. I'm watching scores from other places. And as I, like I say, I never did this before we started talking about it. But now that I've gotten into it, I'm no big better. My bets usually are about $5 or $10. I only put into it what I could afford to lose, and I view it as entertainment, as do a lot of other folks. But yeah, I think that will happen eventually as folks start to, it starts to normalize. You mentioned the lottery. You know, I was one of those folks who was opposed to the lottery when it came to North Carolina. Didn't want the government in that business. Don't necessarily care one way or the other if you do it. I just didn't think the government was the best place to get that revenue from. Would rather see a tax on it, but it's here. And folks have realized that it has funded schools and, you know, hasn't been the end of Western culture as we know it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've already placed your first bet. I'm sure I've got a lot of friends who were doing sports betting before. They probably placed their first bet here in North Carolina legally now. What's been the general reaction? I mean, it's been legal now for about a week or so. What's been the general reaction from around the state so far?
Well, what we've seen is it's probably more popular than we even realized, anticipated, because you have to geo-comply, meaning you have to be in the state to bet. If you're a North Carolina citizen and you're going to use a North Carolina-based app, they're geolocating you. So what we saw within 48 hours, some 370,000 people had logged in. Now, they maybe hadn't placed their first bet at that time yet, but they had signed up for the app, had logged in. We had a heat map that would show that. It was, quite frankly, generally all over the state. Some places the heat map was stronger than others, where you might expect. Big cities, Charlotte, Greensboro, Raleigh, had bigger signatures on that heat map, but really all across the state. And so within a 48-hour period, that constituency was able to participate in something that they wanted to do. To put it in perspective, I was talking to my son about it because he follows politics. He's 15 and was just curious about it because he's been with dad through this journey of trying to pass a bill and get it through there. I said, you know, put it in perspective. I think there's something like, I can't remember if it's 93 or 96,000 public school teachers in North Carolina. And so in 48 hours, you've got something that's 3.5 times that. Log on and want to be a part of. So it's a large number of people in a state of 10 million people. It may not seem like 375,000 people are that much, but it's pretty considerable when you factor out for kids weren't doing it. It was all adults and they did it in a very short time frame. So I imagine it will grow because people are wanting to be a part of it.
When the weather warms up, so does the real estate market. Sounds obvious, right? It's true. Spring typically means more home sales. But how will the current interest rates affect people's decisions? What about inventory? Is it high or low? And does that benefit the buyer or the seller? And how do those factors take into account a certain price point or area of the triad? Now it's not so obvious, is it? That's why you should turn to the Ginther Group to make sense of it all. You need someone you can rely on to assess your situation, read the data and trends, and steer you in the right direction. Interest rates, inventory, even new construction. There are so many factors that impact our local market. And you should get your information from the folks right here in our backyard. Contact Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group today, 336-283-8689, or visit theginthergroup.com. Buying, selling, investing, or just learning, whatever you need, start now, and like me, you can become a Ginther Group client for life.
Well, if you're just now joining us, you are locked in. I'm Algernon Cash. Thank you for joining us. The other voice that you hear with me today is Representative Jason Sain, who is a member of the North Carolina General Assembly and who was very instrumental in passing a bill to legalize sports gambling right here in North Carolina. I'm sure many of you in my audience have already opened your first account, maybe even placed your first bet. But now it is legal here in the state of North Carolina. You know, Representative, you talk about some of the positive reactions that have come in from around the state. Obviously, the numbers in terms of people opening accounts and perhaps looking at the platform is the turnout's been greater than what you anticipated. You know, one organization that did come out against sports betting was the North Carolina Problem Gambling Program, which is a division of North Carolina DHHS. They were really concerned about some of the gambling addiction associated with sports betting. What would be your reaction to that organization and maybe several others around the state that are concerned about gambling addiction and that type of thing getting higher here in North Carolina?
Sure. I think, look, first of all, let's be honest. Even a good thing can be a bad thing if it's overused or, basically takes over your life. And I think that's well-founded and I have no problem with the opposition thinking that way. I mean, because too much of a good thing, too much McDonald's has probably gotten me over the years. I need to better self-regulate. So I understand that. And I think a small percentage of folks might be susceptible to any type of addiction, whether it be drugs, whether it be McDonald's, whether it be gambling. And so I think having some form of transparency, truly, to understand what's really happening, because it's kind of like some of the other things in society. We're not looking for it, so we really don't know. We're just guessing. Yeah. So the opposition really couldn't give me numbers. All they could tell me is what maybe was happening in some other state, maybe some hyperbole. We saw a lot of that on the House floor during the debate, but no one could really provide true numbers at what gambling addiction might look like in North Carolina. Now, because we monitor it, clearly we monitor it. We knew within 48 hours where people were signing in from, who they were. They have to give identifiable information to qualify to play. And because we know that, one, a lot of these companies, most of these companies, if not all of them, are monitoring those people placing bets. So using FanDuel, when I log in, or DraftKings, or pick your app of choice, those are the two that I've been using. It one says, hey, you've logged in multiple times. Let us show you what the problem gambling helpline is. I'm doing it because I'm logging in multiple times because I'm so interested and invested in it. I want to see what it looks like. But it would tell me, hey, it looks like you're accessing this app a lot. Here's the problem gambling helpline. You can also set your own, you can also regulate yourself and say, look, I don't want to bet more than $100 in a 30-day period. You can put that into the app. It will also notice that, hey, look, you've been doing this a lot. It'll send you a message. There's a lot of safeguards in place that weren't there before. And I think that is something that folks really didn't realize. And we also put $2 million into the problem gambling helpline. So that we can help boost that up, so that DHHS is a recipient of that, so that they can run this program. We didn't want the excuse of, oh, well, we don't have staff, we don't have enough money to do this. And look, as legislators, we can go back and reevaluate what it looks like. If we see that, hey, maybe this is a problem, we can take that away. I tend to think that's not going to be what happens. But if we need to boost up funding on problem gambling, we can do that too. But prior to, like I say, there was really just no way to know. And with legalization comes some transparency and some real insight into what is happening in our state.
You know, I'm thankful that you mentioned some of the safeguards that are actually built into the platform. I've never done it before, so I was unaware that those safeguards was there as well. But I was sort of preparing for our conversation today, I was thinking about and trying to like compare sports betting to the lottery. And obviously with the lottery, you actually have to get up and leave your house and, go to a convenience store, purchase the ticket and scratch it. It's multiple steps you got to go through to be able to do it. And I was sitting here thinking like, man, I mean, it's pretty easy. Everybody's got a cell phone. So you could log into that app and you could spend your entire weekend betting and gambling all weekend long if that's what you want to do. But I like the fact that, obviously it's up to the user whether or not they want to adhere to the safeguards that are inside the application. But the fact that they are there and trying to create some guardrails so that people just don't go completely off the road here with this thing, I think that's extremely helpful.
Well, and look, I'll add, and you probably don't know because you wouldn't know unless you're playing the North Carolina Lottery. You can do that on your phone now as well. Folks don't know that. And so we even had legislators who were talking about it on the House floor as we were debating, saying, well, at least exactly what you just said. So don't feel like you were the only one that didn't know, because a lot of folks didn't realize that was already happening with the North Carolina Lottery. And I went to some of the members of my caucus who were opposed and who they have every right to be opposed. But what I offered to them was, I said, okay, well, fine. If gambling's absolutely wrong, something we shouldn't be doing as a state, then let's see your bill to repeal the North Carolina Lottery. There's nothing that stops a legislator from doing that. They could file it today. And not one, not a single one filed that bill. I'm still waiting to see it. We'll see how far that gets if they ever do file it. But I just don't think that's going to be the case. And again, you know, a lot of it was hyperbole. They said, no, we were opposed to it for various reasons, and society is going to deteriorate because of it. The reality is we didn't see that with the North Carolina lottery. We're not going to see it with sports betting. We're doing it online already. And look, that's also why we put it at the Lottery Commission, because they do have, you know, some expertise in working online with these vendors and understanding geo compliance and making sure that folks are who they say they are. So this was actually not something new. Folks were already doing it in our state. They were just doing it with the lottery, you know, with the North Carolina lottery. Now they can do it with sports betting as well.
And I think you made a good point earlier, Representative, saying that, you know, obviously people were engaging in sports betting prior to your bill being passed and put into action here. People were already doing it. It's just that money was leaving North Carolina. Similar to the lottery, I used to date a young lady who would literally on the weekends, that was her enjoyment. She liked to jump in the car and drive up to Virginia to buy lottery tickets. And she was doing that before we had the lottery here in North Carolina. So that money was already flowing into nearby states like South Carolina and Virginia. You know, obviously, I think part of your hope and maybe many other legislators that supported you on the bill, including the governor, I think y'all's hope is that these profits from sports gambling is going to boost the economy and economic development in the state of North Carolina. Can you explain a little bit about your expectation around where the profits would go to work here in North Carolina?
Yeah, no, glad to. And that's exactly right. I mean, you framed it very well. Part of the way of getting to a deal with our bills, making sure that we reinvested back in the state, because we knew it was going to be, you know, essentially a cash cow. Folks were already doing it. We could recapture it, bring it back into our state. We wanted to put most of that money back into the general fund, but we have several places it's going to go. Big event, large event fund, sporting events that are, you know, kind of one-time deals. When you think about Super Bowls and big golf tournaments and you know, NBA does their all-star game every year. So there's money put aside that helps recruit those big events into the state, because we see the economic return on those. It's, as I call it, heads in beds and tourism, travel dollars, people coming into our state. So that's one aspect of it. But also we saw that, you know, yes, we've got state in Carolina, really right after the big game, we're talking about it. And they do very well because they have such a great following. They're longtime established, universities, but some of our smaller universities in our public university system really struggle to fund their athletic departments. It's something that's not readily there for them. They don't have the revenue streams because they don't have as large a fan base. So we're putting money back into those athletic departments, into their athletics, so that they can be better compete, and so that they can enjoy some of the benefits. Because we felt like if the state was making money on those athletic events and those athletes, then we would reinvest back into them, into those programs. So you'll see that in the smaller schools as well, which is great. And you'll see more money put into our outdoor youth programs. Each county gets money for that as well. So again, we're trying to make sure that we take sports betting for what it is and make sure that it's a public good, so that everyone across the state, whether you're for it or even against it, you can see some value in it coming to our state.
It's time to get serious about your financial future. It's never too early, but it could be too late to get started. And that's oftentimes the hardest part, getting started. How much do I save? Where do I invest? Do I save for college or retirement? How much for each? And who do I talk to about it all? Okay, we'll keep things simple for now and help you answer the last one. We recommend you begin with a local financial advisor. And that's Jennifer Johnson of Three Magnolias Financial Advisors. She'll sit down with you for a complimentary introductory consultation and go over all of your questions. Get started on the path to achieving your financial goals. Visit 3magnoliasfinancialadvisors.com or call 336-701-1600. Get comfortable with your financial future. 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors, retirement, financial planning, and investments. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors. 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors and Cetera Advisor Networks are not affiliated. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
You know, I was reading online some of the reaction from some of your fellow lawmakers in the General Assembly, in the House and the Senate, And one reaction that I read talked about the fact that the quote unquote new money that would be coming in through sports betting really isn't new money. Technically, that money is already here. It's just now being repurposed. If it wasn't for sports betting, people would be using that money on their rent, or they'd go buy food with it, or maybe go down to the local mall and buy new clothes or whatever. What would be your reaction to those folks that say that, you know, this isn't really new money coming in? This is just recycled money.
Well, I don't believe that at all. I think this is, you know, like for me, if I'm a typical user, and I think I probably am, because I don't bet a whole lot of money. It's entertainment for me. I'm probably going to spend that money somewhere. It can be in state, out of state, as we saw with my friends, both who were doing it on a regular basis, as they're huge sports fans. That money was going somewhere else, and so that money being recaptured back into our state, I think, does make that new money that we can enjoy the benefit from. And it is being regulated, and it is being taxed. We'll get a portion of that back, and it also spurs economic activity. As we see, we were talking about the locations where the sports books will be located. These are new opportunities, new tourism dollars, as people maybe come to, they might be following their team that's playing the Hornets this week. They might stay an extra night, enjoy the restaurant bar scene at the sports book, watch their other teams participate. If you're like me, I'm a multi-sport fan. So one night it might be basketball. The very next day it might be baseball. I love it when I have the dual seasons going at the same time. But you get to, you know, participate in that as well. So I do think they're part of that is recaptured money. So the money that would be here, but it's also money that was leaving our state. So it is new money, and we'll see that in our revenue. I don't anticipate at all that other revenue streams will be impacted. We'll just have a new revenue stream.
Yeah, and then I heard you say also that part of what you hope to happen is some of the money that's coming in from sports betting, you're able to use that capital to go in and invest and be able to lure large scale events to North Carolina as well, like the All-Star Games and the other things that you mentioned, which would all certainly be new economic development revenue that would be coming into the state for sure. Again, if you're just now joining us, my name is Algernon Cash. Thank you for locking in. Sports betting is now legal in North Carolina, and we're having a conversation about it with Representative Jason Sain, who was instrumental in getting the bill through the North Carolina General Assembly to allow all these sports fans who want to bet on games, now they can do that here in North Carolina legally. Representative, I've got just a couple more questions for you, and then I think we'll be wrapping up. I did take a look at some of the taxes and fees that were going to be levied against the industry. I think I saw it's going to be $1 million application fee, another $1 million renewal fee, and then also the state will be taking about an 18% privilege tax from the revenues that are coming in for the operators who are running the sports gaming platforms. Where do you see some of that money being used as well? I mean, is any of that going to education? I mean, things that we can point to around the state or?
Yeah. So I didn't want to design it for just one particular part of our budget, because we have needs and things change, you know, from year to year. You might have a bigger need in one area of our state budget versus another. So most of it goes into the general fund. So that money can be used for education. That money can be used for DHHS. It can be used for roads. It can be used in various different ways. But it goes into that general fund for that very purpose. As that grows, so does the general fund. We wanted to make sure that we didn't try to supplant money. We didn't want to say, as we talked about putting money into those university athletic programs, you know, if you're, say, Fayetteville State, and now you get a new influx of cash into your athletic program, we wanted to make sure, and part of the agreement with the legislature who are passing it is, look, we're not doing this to then come back and cut Fayetteville State $1 million on the other side of things to say, well, you've got your money. That's not the design at all in what we did. I'm a budget chair, so I get to make sure that happens that way. But it's more to boost those programs and to boost those schools and to add to, not take away. So the bottom line is that this is quote unquote locked in, if you will, to go into that budget and to be there for the citizens of North Carolina so that everyone can benefit.
Yeah, you know, one of my last questions as we get ready to wrap up, Representative, you all will have a short legislative session that will be starting here soon. I'm sure legislators are going to be in a hurry to get in and out because it's an election year, so much going on around you. But there's been a lot of conversation about gaming, not just sports betting, but we've had conversations in the past session about casinos. You know, where do you see this issue going in this upcoming session? And I guess what's probably, I mean, since you're at the forefront of some of this legislation, what's most important to you relative to gaming public policy here in North Carolina?
Yeah, well, one, I think, you know, with all those, and just as we saw with sports betting, I think the proper time, as I always say, letting things marinate for a bit. We did run the bill a session prior. It took us 3 or 4 years really to get to sports betting. The casino language came in very late in the session last year. It wasn't, I don't think it had time to marinate, much less cook on the grill. And I'm not sure that we're going to be there in a short session. It is a short window. There's another issue that's out there. It's called VLTs, video lottery terminals. These are what people commonly call the sweepstakes. You see these sweepstakes parlors pop up, they disappear. There's no real consistency county by county to enforcement. And that is also another big revenue stream that's leaving our state, going out of state because vendors come in from somewhere else and those profits go somewhere else. There I think is a bigger push there versus casinos. I think casinos probably maybe something on down the road, but not ready for prime time just yet, as we saw last session. That video lottery terminals might be something that's a little more palatable, because we have discussed video lottery terminals or sweepstakes ever since I've been in the legislature. It has been something that legislators have seen as both a problem and as a way that is kind of skirting under in a you know, underground economy that's existing out there. And it might be something that folks might be ready to tackle. Although we do have a short window, it could be just another time for it to marinate and come back the next long session. But I think that one probably comes in before casinos do.
So we can look forward to more conversation, more debate in this upcoming session, probably not big decisions during the short session, but perhaps as we get back into 2025 in the long session, the issue may continue to resurface.
And look, one point to make, it ended up not being that big of a topic in the primaries. A lot of folks said, well, you know, hey, look, this is going to be a huge primary issue for you. It's going to be something that gets people unelected. I can't point to any race where that happened in our state. Matter of fact, in the face of sports betting, I didn't get a primary or a general election. So I think it's people, as we saw in polling, about 70-some% of the people, you know, either approve or don't have an opinion. And so whatever happens will just happen. So I would say that it's just something that's going to be debated for a couple of years to come, for sure.
Yeah, I watch a lot of these races pretty close myself, and I never saw the issue pop up during the primary season myself, Representative. Thank you, Representative Sane. Thank you for locking in. This is your inaugural appearance. You're on my list now. So we'll have to start making you a regular contributor. Thank you for your work in Raleigh. And congratulations. No primary opponent, no general opponent. You sort of get to take the year off and maybe go support some colleagues and peers. So congratulations on that as well. Thank you again for locking in. And to my audience, thank you all for locking in. Make sure you stay tuned to WTOB, because every Sunday morning, that is where the Locked In Show broadcasts. But if you happen to miss me there, hopefully you subscribe to the podcast. You can always get that on Apple, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you like to download your favorite podcast, you can lock in there. And as always, until next time, y'all stay locked in.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.